Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Bible, it is God's word written to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I receive it as truth for my life today and open my heart to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're a fast flipper, turn with me to John chapter 16, and then you can hold Romans chapter 8. John 16 and Romans chapter 8, and we'll get over there in just a second. But let me start by making this statement. Are you with me? Say amen. Come on, let's warm up a little bit. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
The greatest gift to the world is Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And the greatest gift to the church is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the church that he would be your helper. He would be your comforter. He would be your strengthener. He would be your intercessor. He would be your standby. He would be your guide. He is the gift from heaven sent from the Father to help you, the church, live in victorious, overcoming, abundant, to the full life, heaven on earth kind of living. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's a special, special gift. So we at Lakeshore, starting with our senior pastor and all of our team, have sensed that God is asking us to go a little deeper in the Word and the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. If you've been with us for a while, you know that we've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. This specific series is entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. Will you say it with me, church? The Power of the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind that the power of the Holy Spirit is forever connected to the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit because the person of the Holy Spirit brings the power and he always brings the right amount of power for every situation. If you're with me, say amen. Last week we covered three essential baptisms. If you weren't with us, I want to encourage you, go to our podcast, catch up with us, download our mobile app, Lakeshore CF, so that you can stay with us as a church family. Here's a big thought for the morning. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down. There are many voices and many choices, but only one is true. Would you say it with me, church? There are many voices and many choices, but only one is true. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit releases his power in your life is by speaking to you and guiding you in everyday living so that you can follow him. The title of today's message is simply this: Following the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Following the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, don't tune me out. We're so glad that you're here. This is a perfect message for you to listen in on because you're going to see firsthand how much God loves and cares for his people, so much so that he sent a personal guide so that we can follow him and avoid so many pitfalls, so many wrong turns, so many bad decisions that really, really wreak havoc in our lives. As a matter of fact, before Jesus left in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, we have some words that he communicated to his disciples. And this is what it says: I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You don't have the spiritual capacity right now to carry the weight of the words that I want to share with you. However, somebody say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, referring to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Did you know that there's this huge deception in our world? I just saw it on a commercial the other day. There was a commercial that was advertising a California psychic hotline. And there are people that are desperate to receive guidance, to receive instruction, to maybe get a glimpse of something good that something or someone has for them in the future. And although that is a counterfeit, there is a very real personal guide, and he's called the Holy Spirit, that God has sent to you and I as members of the church. And part of his assignment is to release his power in your life to guide you and to lead you in everything that you do. Everything that you do. Notice, it says that he won't speak on his own authority. But he will speak exactly what the Father would have him to speak. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides you is by speaking to you. But I'll get back to that. Let me just look at this word guide. I think you know what it means. But the word guide is a leader of the way. It means to lead and to show the way. No matter how educated you are, no matter how sharp you are, no matter how smart you are, can I just be upfront and honest, as gracious as I possibly can? Life is too big and too complex for you to lead your own path in life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Have anybody been to the Biltmore Hotel? The Biltmore? My wife and I went a couple of times, and we went one time during the Christmas season. It was remarkable. It was amazing. It took me about 3.5 hours to go through that house. I went from room to room, not in order. I kind of made some wrong turns. I ended up in some do not cross the line dead ends. It took me probably way longer than I hoped it would take. I'm not that patient. I felt like I was shopping. Guys, that's really hard. And when I finished that thing, I just thought there had to have been a better way. Well, there is. More recently, a couple years ago, my wife and I went back again, Biltmore Christmas. It was beautiful. But this time, we noticed that they had one of these audio guides. And it was like 10 bucks or something. It was well worth it. But you listen to this audio guide from a guide who knows everything about the Biltmore estate. From room to room. Detail to detail, every nook, every cranny, no wasted steps, no wrong turns, no dead ends. He got me through it effectively and efficiently, and it was something I could have never done guiding my own self. Can you say amen? Amen. Why is that important? It's important because Jesus wants you to know that he sent you a guide. And his guidance will lead you and direct you to help you, to keep you from making costly detours and costly mistakes. One of the blessings that we have access to is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been after this probably for about 15 years. I'm learning. I don't have it down packed. But there's a huge difference between learning to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and following all kind of other stuff that tries to lead me in life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, in the Amplified, it says this: for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The New King James says, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. This says, for all who are, come on, say it with me, allowing themselves. What does that mean, Pastor Robert? That means it's a personal decision that you and I have to make if we're going to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Even though he's a great guide, even though he knows everything about everything, even though he can lead you in a smooth path, the right connections, the right career, the right decisions, you will have to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to allow yourself to follow God, the Holy Spirit. And it's a discipline. It doesn't happen overnight. It will take practicing his presence and practicing tuning in and listening to him. Let me ask you this. Don't raise any hands and don't look around, but just keep it on the inside. How many of you here this morning have ever said or done something that you thought was right, but looking back, you realize that you missed it by a country mile, right? That's me. And what we don't realize is that we followed a leading of some kind. We followed a leading. When you got upset and you got hurt and you stormed out of the job, you followed those emotions. If you've known someone who've ever been divorced, the emotions were so overwhelming that they followed those emotions instead of anchoring to the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, and they ended up getting a divorce. If you've ever followed money because you thought that was going to be the key that just unlocks your life, and then you got there and you realized, even though you're making way more money than you thought you could ever make, there's still kind of all other issues going on in your life, and money wasn't the answer. People are led, Christians are led by all kinds of stuff. But we need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit instead of following emotions. Can you say amen? Yeah. Money talks to us. People lead us and guide us. Feelings lead us and guide us. And I'm not talking about just church stuff. I'm not talking about learning to follow the Holy Spirit just for church. He wants to lead you in your relationships at home. He wants to guide you through your relationships with your spouse. If you're not married, he has the perfect person set apart for you. Don't settle for anybody less than that. He wants to guide you in your relationships with your parents, kids. In the moment, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you in your relationships with your parents. He has direction for the purposes that he has for your life. He has direction for your career. I mean, this has huge implications. Learning to follow the Holy Spirit, are you kidding me? If you could learn to follow the Holy Spirit, you would have it made. I went to California recently, and before we left, I asked our Connect group on our Gastonia campus to pray for me, and they did in the moment. I've had this rift with one of my older sisters for the last 3 years. The last time I was there, some feelings were hurt. She's cut me off. She won't respond to my text messages. She won't reply to my voicemails. She won't answer my phone calls. I'm not the only one. There's six siblings. She's got it out for everybody. A lot of stuff going on. And I didn't know how this was going to get fixed. I only know the only way it could is if God would intervene. Amen. So after the first night at my dad's house, I woke up. I did my devotions first thing in the morning. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Had some coffee. And then my dad's care nurse told me, hey, your sister runs through the neighborhood every morning. Oh, really? So I went back out in the front yard, and wouldn't you know it, she was coming around the corner. That should be a song. She'll be coming, right? And I saw her, and before she really caught me, I just jogged right up to her, and I was running along her side, right? I kind of startled her, and she just looked at me. It's been 3 years, no words. I said, hey, good morning. Can I run with you? It's not my street. It's a free country. How many of you know in that moment, I could speak from my flesh. I could have said something that the old man would have preferred to say, but I didn't. I pulled back the emotion, and under my breath, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. Help me. Help me in what to say, what not to say, and when to say it. And so we walked the whole neighborhood, not exactly my plan that morning, but we walked the whole neighborhood, and by the time we got to her gated community where she was going to step in, she finally turns to me, she says, have you had a cup of coffee already? I said, I can go for two today. She invited me into her kitchen. And we had coffee for an hour and a half, and we talked, and we cried, and we loved each other. And the thing that I knew that I had to keep saying is, I love you. I love you. No matter what happens, I love you. There's nothing that should keep us, brothers and sisters, separated. I love you. Well, before it was over, I said, hey, listen, while I'm here the next week, I'd love to be able to take you out, get some dinner. And then I thought about it. She's a great cook. Or we can come back here later and we can make some homemade enchiladas. Anybody like homemade enchiladas? I mean, these are homemade, man. No enchilada sauce from the can. I mean, real stuff. And so she said, hey, I think I got everything we need. I just need to go get some corn tortillas. What time can you get back? I was going to take some friends to a midweek Bible study, so I had some plans already previously made. But I said, I think I can show up here about 4:30. Let's make them. I made them. She gave me the directions. I made them. I made 2 dozen homemade enchiladas with rice and beans and homemade chili and homemade guacamole. Can I get an amen? It was all ready, and then my friend George picked me up. We went to Bible study, and we came back. Why are you saying all that, Pastor Robert? Because the Holy Spirit wants to guide you in your relationships. You don't have to just say everything you feel. You don't have to just blurt out everything you think you need to blurt out. Even if you're hurt, even if you're offended, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. Now, I know we don't probably think about this, but Jesus himself, he heard many voices, and he had many choices, but he only did the thing that was true every single time. Look at John chapter 8, the back half of verse 28 and 29. Now, I've been kind of camped out on these words from Jesus, and I've really been trying to personalize them. So I want you to lean in with me and do the same. These are powerful, powerful words. Listen to what he says. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. For I always do, say it with me, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus was the ultimate example of a person who heard from heaven and walked in sync and in unity with the Holy Spirit. He followed the Holy Spirit. How many of you agree that Jesus followed the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, he was in sync. He was unified. He said the right things at the right time. He did the right things at the right time. So let's personalize this. How do I follow the Holy Spirit? How do I follow the Holy Spirit? I want to give you 3 kingdom keys to unlock following the Holy Spirit. Now, let me interject this. This is so important because you got to catch this. If you're a Christian, when you got saved, you transferred locations from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amen. Now, you have to understand that, because when that happened, there was a shift that took place on the inside of you, even if you don't recognize it. That's Bible truth. And so, as practically as I can help you to understand this, let me put it this way. If you're a citizen of the United States and you move to Mexico, you transfer from the United States to Mexico. You can't live in Mexico the way that you lived in the United States. If you're with me, say amen. Everything changes. Your language has to change. How you communicate has to change. The food you eat is going to change. The way you relate, the laws of the land are going to change. When you got saved, you transferred from your old way of living in the kingdom of darkness, where you were leading yourself and following culture. Now you're in the kingdom of the Son of His love, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth. You and I have to learn how to function as representatives of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that means we have to learn how to unlock kingdom keys to follow the Holy Spirit, because if you don't recognize that, you'll try to live life the way you did in the kingdom of darkness, and it doesn't work in the kingdom of the Son of His love. You'll always come up frustrated. It just won't work. Now, these keys could sound very simple, and I think they are, but allow them to soak in. Kingdom key number 1, write it down. I need to follow the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. I need to follow the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about Jesus. He said, I do nothing of myself. Jesus said that. I do nothing of myself. I don't understand it. If anybody could do anything by and from itself, it had to have been Jesus. Isn't that true? But when you study the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus was filled, Jesus was empowered, and Jesus was led. Somebody say led. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus followed him. His direct connect to heaven, his direct connect to the Father, his direct connect to the kingdom of heaven was following the Holy Spirit. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. This takes practice. It takes intentionality. It won't happen overnight, but you have the reborn capacity from God to be able to follow the Holy Spirit. It'll revolutionize your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your family. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your career. You don't have to be led by what everybody else thinks you should do. You can be led by the guide from heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. Man, we get trapped into thinking we can do way more without God than we can. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. Say this after me. I promise I'll never have you to say something that would be embarrassing or strange. Say this after me. Holy Spirit,
I acknowledge
that I need to follow you. Lead me in everything I think,
in
everything I say, and in everything I do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that? One of the most significant ways that the Holy Spirit spoke to my wife and I. He's been doing that, and he is doing that. And as I'm learning to tune into his voice, it's getting stronger, and the following is getting better. But one of the most significant ways, and some of you may know this, but I think it bears repetition, is my wife and I were the Catawba campus pastors. We left 3 years ago, but before we had left, we were there for already about 5 years. And we were really beginning to kind of impact culture and impact the community. We were breaking the law on the bus. It seats 12. We had 20. It was crazy. I mean, God was giving us favor in the community. People were coming. I mean, things were happening, and we were so grateful. And then Pastor Gill tells the staff, hey, listen, we're inheriting another campus. Unfortunately, a church closed down in Gastonia. And so my wife and I heard that, and something on the inside began to gnaw at us. My wife was mad. She's like, there's no way that God's house should sit empty. There's no way that God's house should be just kind of left like that without making an impact in the community. And she began to pray into that. And we had that in our heart and in our mind. We had the campus, but the question was, who would we send? I didn't want to go. I mean, we're starting to make some headway over there. Amen. I could, man, we're going to have two services and we're going to reach more people. And one night I go to sleep and I had this vivid dream. One of the ways the Holy Spirit of God speaks to his people is through dreams. It's biblical. When the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, one of the ways he speaks is through dreams. And I had this dream, and in this dream, I saw myself in the dream and I was opening a letter, and it was exciting. The letter was a letter of invitation. I was being invited to submit a drawing of a garden that I would plant. And in this garden, I have to put the different groupings of the plants and the vegetables and so on and so forth. And I'd have to submit it in. It was kind of an opportunity or a contest. And I was really excited about it. But then I remember stepping back and shrinking back, and I'm thinking, and I said, I'm not good at gardening. Pastor Gill is good at gardening. And then I find myself kind of going up to a restaurant, and I seen Pastor Debbie. She's outside. There's outside seating, and she's having a cup of coffee or she's having her breakfast. Hey, Debbie, how you doing? What's going on? She goes, oh, I'm just here. I'm having some breakfast and some coffee before I get about my day. And then I walk into this hallway. I see all of this in the dream. And Pastor Gill's coming down the hallway, and I'm passing him. And I turn around and I say, hey, you got it? Crystal clear, right? And then Pastor Gill turns back to me and goes, clear as mud. And then I woke up, And the next morning, I just knew God's speaking to me through that dream. I grabbed my coffee. I grabbed my Bible. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And I'm searching. Does God speak through dreams? Absolutely. What is he saying? I'm praying into that. And this was an opportunity for me to plant, for my wife and I, for us, Lakeshore, to plant a garden out in Gastonia so God can grow people. But I quickly disqualified myself because I don't know that I can do that. This is a different level. Much more autonomy, much more responsibility. It was a bigger opportunity, and I quickly disqualified, said, I can't do that. Pastor Gil can do that. But when Pastor Gil said, it's clear as mud, the Holy Spirit told me, you see, he doesn't got it all figured out. He needs me just like you're going to need me. If I'm sending you, you can do it. And so I woke up, and I just knew as I was hearing God. I came in that morning. It was a Monday morning. I went to Pastor Gil in his office. I said, Pastor Gil, I don't know, this might sound a little strange, but I feel like the Lord's telling my wife and I that our time at Catawba's up. It was not what I wanted to do, though. It's not what I thought I should do. It was the furthest thing from our minds. And he said, well, I don't know what you want me to say. And then I said, I also believe that the Lord is asking us to help you and to help Lakeshore get something started on our Gastonia campus. And then he said, well, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because in our meetings, we keep talking about who we're going to send, and you and your wife keep coming to the top of the list. And now we don't have to ask you. Amen. Because that would have been hard. I wouldn't have wanted to go. In my natural thinking, I wouldn't have wanted to go. But as I'm learning to follow the Holy Spirit, I know that he's going to lead me at the right place, at the right time, in alignment with the Father's heart. Can you say amen? Amen. This is important because there are many voices and many choices, but only one that is true. Amen. What if you woke up every morning and you just looked to the Holy Spirit? And you just told him, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge that I need you today. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me in everything that I think, in everything that I say, and in everything that I do. When that happens, he knows that you know you need him. And when you look to him and you reverence him and you recognize him and you respond to his leading, you'll end up in a lot of good places. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He's that good. Here's kingdom key number two. Write it down. I must confirm his leading with God's word. I must confirm. Somebody say that with me. I must confirm his leading with God's word. Listen to John 8:28, the back half. Listen to what Jesus said. But as my Father taught me, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. See, Jesus only spoke and Jesus only did things that were in alignment. Somebody say alignment, alignment with the Father. So how do I know if what I'm hearing is in alignment with the Father? So we have to go back to the scriptures. If you have a dream, if somebody comes to you and they move in a prophetic gift, if an idea is given to you by a friend or a coworker and it sounds good and it seems like it might be right, you always have to go back to the scriptures. Now, let's say that God's having you to move. It doesn't mean that the exact address that you're looking at, you're going to move to 205 Cottonwood Drive, Mount Holly, North Carolina. That's my address. He didn't do that, but everything along the way on the inside we knew, right? And now let's say I'm going to buy the house, or you're going to buy the house, and the house is a little bit of a reach for you financially. But you, man, God's leading me to this house. This is the house. And you get with the lender, and the lender says, well, you don't quite make enough money, but I know a guy, and he'll dummy up some W-2s for you. He'll bump your income a little. Well, praise God, then I'll be able to get the house that God's leading me to, right? No, wrong. Wrong. As much as it seems right, and it looks right, and there's open doors and opportunities, if it violates the principles that are in the scripture, that's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that you'll be equipped and you'll be ready, right? I'm so glad that Lakeshore is a church that spends daily time with God. I'm so glad that Lakeshore is a church who's hungry for the word of God. Can you say amen? Did you know that it's so supernaturally natural for you to follow the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian, it's supernaturally natural for you to follow the Holy Spirit. You were recreated to hear God's voice and to follow his lead. Look at John 10, 3 and 4. Jesus is speaking about his sheep, his followers, that's you and I. He says, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, notice, and the sheep follow him. Somebody say, I follow him. And this goes on, it says this, they know his voice. Notice, they follow him because they know his voice. The word follow means to accompany, to go along with, to go the same way with the one who proceeds. Jesus leads you primarily, first and foremost, by an inward witness, by the Holy Spirit. He communicates with your spirit. Now, I know that conceptually, this is hard for us to wrap our little brains around. Because we're led by all kinds of stuff. We're led by our head. We're led by people. We're led by opportunities. We're led by feelings. It's normal for people to be led by all that stuff. But when you transfer into the kingdom of heaven, your spirit is open up and alive to God. And now he's going to begin to speak to you. It doesn't mean you hear an audible voice, but there's an unction. Amen. There's this sense from the Holy Spirit on the inside. Let me show you. You've already done this at least once. Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's not on the screen. If you have a Bible and you want to see it, I want to encourage you, bring your Bible, crack this open. I want to look at it one more time. Look at it with me in your Bible if you have one. The Spirit himself, Romans 8:16, bears witness. Somebody say, bears witness. Another translation says, joins with our spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Say, my spirit. My spirit. And this is what he does. He convinces you that you're a child of God. Is anybody convinced that you're a child of God? Anybody convinced that you're saved, you're sealed, you're set free, you're on your way to heaven? How did you get that convincing? The Holy Spirit bore witness with your spirit and you became convinced. Now, bears witness, it just means that together, the Holy Spirit, with your spirit, he reported or he witnessed or he testified to the fact that you're born again. You're genuinely saved. You're a child of God. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to your spirit. Now listen, if the Holy Spirit can convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God and you're going to heaven, even though you've never been there and you've never seen it, if he can convince you of that, can he convince you about what career path you should take? Can he convince you about who you should marry? Can't the Holy Spirit convince you about who you should not marry? Can I get a big amen? Because if you go ahead with your flesh and you marry the wrong person, it will be like hell on earth. Can the Holy Spirit convince you about what job you should take, about what job you should drop? About what house you should go move into. Can't the Holy Spirit convince you about what church family you should be part of? Amen. If he can convince you that you're a child of God, he can guide you and he can lead you and he can convince you about everything that God has for your future and everything that God has for your life. Your career, your education, your advancement in your job, your working through things with your spouse. And let me just say this, don't look for the spectacular. Don't look for outside signs or fleeces like the Old Testament. Well, Pastor Robert, Gideon in the Old Testament, he threw a fleece out there. True, but Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. Oh, God, I know that if you just send four red Porsches across my front yard, she's the one for me. Don't go by this stuff. The devil's out there where this stuff is. There's an inward witness. It starts in here. And if you're not sure, ask somebody. Somebody who's following the Holy Spirit. Somebody who's in the Word. Right? Don't ask your unbelieving friends. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't follow your unbelieving friends. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I love 1 Kings. It's just a note. It says that God was not in the strong wind. He was not in the earthquake. And he was not in the fire. But he was in the still, small voice. Listen for the inward witness. He has things that he wants to say, clarity that he wants to bring, answers to problems. Okay, Pastor Robert, what have we covered so far? So far, number one, I need to follow the Holy Spirit. Number two, I must confirm his leading with the word. Here's the last kingdom key for today, and this will kind of help us to tie it all together. Worship team, you can come back up to the platform as we're heading towards closing. Here it is, write it down. I must remember the Holy Spirit is with me. Would you say it with me, church? I must remember that the Holy Spirit is with me. If I'm honest, I have to look at what Jesus said again. He said this, John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Think about that. I mean, Jesus only spoke the things that were in alignment with the Father. He only did things that were in alignment with the Father. How is that possible? It's possible because he remembered that the Holy Spirit was with him. He was guiding him. He was leading him. He was counseling him. He was strengthening him. He was imparting power to him. If you're honest and if I'm honest, isn't it easy to go through our day and forget that the Holy Spirit is with us? Come on, that's so easy. If we remember this, if you remember that the Holy Spirit is with you, when your feet hit the floor and you go throughout your day, you'll look to him more often. You'll recognize him in your life. Not only that, but when you hear him speak and gives you these nudges, you'll respond to him and you'll follow him. Does anybody want to follow the Holy Spirit? Come on, stand to your feet with me and let's pray. I love the last thing that Jesus said in this text. I always do those things that please him. Think about your life. Robert, think about your life. What would our lives be like, church, if we were so in step, so in tune, so in sync, that we only spoke the words the Holy Spirit would have us to speak? That we only did the things that the Holy Spirit would have us to do in our family relationships, with our spouses, with our kids, in the workplace, in our neighborhood, in the grocery store, pumping gas, wherever you're at and everything you're doing. Notice the result. You will always and only do those things that please him. Did you know that when you please the Father, you'll be right smack in the middle of his perfect will for your life? Aren't you glad we have a guide? If you're open and you're receptive, would you just, even if it's a little uncomfortable, it might seem strange, just lift your hands to Father God. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit today. We thank you for sending us our helper, our intercessor, our comforter, our strengthener. We thank you for sending us a guide. Father, I thank you for your grace this morning over every single person under the sound of my voice. If there's ever been any wrong turns, if there's been things that have been said, things that have been done that were not of you, we thank you, God, that you're a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and unlimited chances. I declare your grace and your power and your love over your people this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that today, starting today, would mark a new level of living in communion with you. We live in the kingdom of the Son of the Father's love. So we open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. We open our spirits to you, Holy Spirit. We invite you to lead us and to guide us into God's perfect will in everything we say and in everything we do. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, everybody said, amen and amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.